Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart can be many things. The songwriter tells us he left his heart in San Francisco. Another sings, "My heart belongs to Daddy." A girl named Peg is not just Peg, but Peg of my heart. My doctor tells me the heart is merely a pump. But it just doesn't sound right to call Peg, Peg of my pump, or to tell people I left my pump in San Francisco. So the heart must be more than just that alone. The scriptures verify the fact that the heart is more than just another part of the human anatomy, like a shoulder or an elbow. The Apostle Paul prayed that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. So when the Bible speaks of the heart, what does it mean? It seems to me that it is speaking of the throne room of the soul and the spirit. Jesus Christ himself is the one who must occupy the central place, the highest place, the place of honor and control. But there are a variety of dangers and deadly enemies lurking in the shadows, ready at a moment's notice to launch an attack and attempt to take over the government of your heart. Satan is all too familiar with the sins that so easily beset us and waits to capitalize on any move in their direction. The world, with its temporal treasures and pleasures, waits to lure us down the forbidden path of personal gain and glory. The devil constantly flings his fiery darts of doubt to dull our affections for God. The flesh gains strength by feeding on the corruption of greed, envy, lust, and pride, and tries to mobilize an attack along these broad roads that lead to destruction. Thus the admonition to keep thy heart with all diligence. But really now, is that possible? In the midst of these obvious changes, is it possible for me to keep my own heart? Of course not. Only God can do that. Why then the admonition to do so? Because the desire for purity, holiness, and a Christ-honoring and Christ-controlled life is the means whereby He can garrison us about and see us through. Paul said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." The Bible also says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." So your desire to be kept and your diligence in such matters as prayer and devotion are the keys to it. The context of this passage has already shown us the need to saturate our hearts with scriptures by writing the Word of God upon the table of the heart through scripture memory. No, you cannot keep your heart. Only God can do that. But He waits for your cooperation and obedience by the direction He gives in His Word. David prayed, "Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee." As we live in the atmosphere of diligent dedication, prayer, and the Bible, the Spirit of God exercises His control in our hearts and lives. But if the devil can launch an assault and capture our heart, the whole man is lost, his affection, desires, motives, and goals. Thus the heart is the center of either sin or holiness. Jesus taught, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things." Everything must be kept. Roads must be kept. Your automobile must be kept. Your house must be kept. Your clothing must be kept. But most of all, your heart must be kept, for out of it are the issues of life.